Save the Semantics, another hip hop discovery. Today we did Cardi B's debut album, Invasion of Privacy. It came out actually like maybe a couple months ago, but we haven't really gotten around to it. Finally got around to it. Cardi B, rapper from New York.
I think she's from the Bronx,
The Bronx. Blew up last year with her song Bodak Yellow, which is originally, it was a Kodak Black song, wasn't it? Or like
she took influence from
Kodak Black, and then that song just blew up. It was like one of the biggest songs of last year, and then decided to come out with an album this year, and here we are. So yeah. general thoughts before we get into it.
Yeah, I thought it was like slightly above average for me. Like, she's a good rapper, but I just thought, like,
nothing extraordinary.
Yeah, because it's just like there's no, it's a similar theme with a lot of our other albums, right? You know, there's no theme, and it's just kind of all over the place.
Actually, I feel like there is kind of a theme there's a lot of
bragging within it, though.
So right. Yeah. But I do feel like there is like a running theme throughout. Like the album itself is called Invasion of Privacy, right?
Yeah. There are moments where she does talk about the invasion of privacy.
Yeah, which I thought was kind of, which is like, all right, for the most part. I think a lot of these like trap albums, like, they don't really have like a general like overarching like theme or like storyline or whatever, you know. Yeah. And like, I'm fine with that, because like, I think as long as you sort of stay within like whatever idea or whatever like sound you're going for, I think it's not that big of a deal. Because like, she does mention like she does talk about how like her sort of her rise to fame has sort of brought this, like, not necessarily unwanted attention, but she did, like, bring attention to herself, like, to her private life and shit like that.
Yeah, but remember before that, though, she kind of mentions in the songs, too, how she was a stripper, and then she was a part of
one of those reality shows. No, that is true. That is true.
Was it Love and Hip Hop Atlanta or one of those?
One of those. So, you're right about that. That's true. But I think, so in a sense, like, I guess she is familiar with sort of the invasion of privacy, like, kind of idea. She mentions it, like, with, just sort of, like, metaphorically, not even metaphorically, like, more, like, just sort of directly through, like, some of the songs involve, you know, the phone or something like that, right? So, like,
yeah, like, the screenshots he takes is, like, people sending pictures to Offset.
Yeah, exactly. So, like,
naked pics.
Yeah. So, like, things involving, like, social media and, like, her phone and things like that. So, I felt like it was, like,
only says it in only a few of the songs. She doesn't, I only feel like in three of the songs, at least, like, the first and the last two, she does bring up the invasion of privacy, but then the whole middle part, she hasn't really even talked about
that. I guess, like, I think she does, like, sort of address it in a way, not directly, she does say invasion of privacy, like, a couple of times throughout, but I feel like she does, like, sort of address that, like, concept, like, the song with Chance the Rapper, like, she's sort of, like, talking about how, like, sort of despite sort of the attention that she gets from like the media and shit like that, she's still trying to kind of like sort of pervade, like, not pervade, what's the word, persevere in a sense, in a way. Like, it wasn't like a direct like saying of like, oh, like the media is invading my privacy,
you know? Yeah, but there has been the instances I showed you of her, you know, she's attracting the negative attention.
Yeah,
like, because there's a whole thing with her supposedly being a Bloods member, and then she posts all that thing about like intentionally calling out the Crips.
Yeah.
And then they're actually sending her death threats. So
yeah,
like, it sucks for her that she's getting the death threats, but at the same time, she brought it upon herself.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I don't really know enough about that to really get into it, but I think, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe like some of it she does bring upon herself, but I don't know. It's like, I mean, she does talk about it from like, I guess like from like the couple of the, like the first, like the first, like, I guess maybe a few tracks, like, she sort of, like, she already addresses sort of what her character is, like, very, like, verbose and very just kind of, like, charismatic person. Mm-hmm. So it's, like, not really that surprising to me that she would do something like that. Yeah. Like, just, like, right from the start, you're kind of, you get an idea of what kind of person she is. Because I haven't really listened to her music that much.
This, like, is the first time for me
as, like, well. I know, like, obviously there's Bodak Yellow, and I did... We did really listen to it on here, a little bit of it, but it was played, like, all year round, like, last year, so we kind of got an idea of that. Should we do, like, a track by track? What do you think?
Yeah, I was actually going to ask you, like, what did you think of the album?
Hopefully. Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought it was all right. I thought it was, like, pretty solid. I didn't think... I know this is, like, cliche, but I felt like it didn't overstay its welcome, you know? Like, I thought the length of it was, like... pretty solid for the most part. Maybe a few of the songs could have been cut, but overall I thought, like, it was pretty concise for the most part.
For a trap album,
a lot of trap albums, we haven't really reviewed a whole lot of trap albums, but from ones that I've sort of kind of went over, like, a lot of them have an issue of having a lot of filler tracks and things like that. But for the most part, every song kind of had sort of its own value added to the album. So overall, I thought it was pretty solid. Let's just do, like, a breakdown of each of the tracks. We started off with Get Up 10. I thought this was, like, a pretty interesting opener for the most part. Like, she like right off the bat sort of addressed her come up, basically, just kind of talking about, sort of in a way, like, being introspective before getting aggressive in a way. And I didn't really mind that. I thought the instrumental was all right.
I did like the siren sample in it, where it's like, you know, it's like trying to get your attention, basically, which it did for me.
Yeah, so that guy, I think that adds to sort
of... The transition I thought was pretty good, like, how it was just kind of slow at the beginning, mm-hmm. and then it, like, you know, then she sped up her tempo then.
Yeah, she was definitely, like, flowing in this. She was actually, she had, like, a really solid flow throughout the album. No real glaring, like, issues with her. Honestly, like, I think the issues that do come up, which we'll get into a little later, is more of, like, the complimentary people that are just, like,
the instrumentals.
The, like, instrumentals,
like, are strong.
Yeah, exactly. Times. So, yeah, but we can get into that based on each of the tracks. Mm-hmm. Number two was Drip featuring Migos. I kind of noted that it was sort of, it was a very Migos song, obviously.
Because was it all three of the members on the song?
Yeah, all three of the members were on the song. Mm-hmm. It was okay. I thought Takeoff had the best verse, because I felt like he had, like, the most energy.
And Quavo just felt kind of weak, because he relied too much on his auto-tune.
He has that kind of issue. Like, I feel like he doesn't really bring anything dynamic to the track at all. Offset did alright.
Yeah.
And I think Cardi did alright, too.
Yeah. The chorus, I felt, was kind of long and
unnecessary. Yeah, chorus was a bit long.
Because I didn't really like how it was, like, Cardi B, and then it was a member of the Migos, mm-hmm. repeating the same thing back and forth.
Yeah. You
know, back to back, actually. Mm-hmm.
It was a little repetitive, for sure. It was just kind of a typical sort of Migos song. It was okay. Like, I think that was, like, the perfect amount of Migos that I could, like, handle on this album.
Like, what? Like, it's kind of an offshoot, but...
Sure, offset.
Like, about the... Yeah. No, but about the Migos, whatever. Though, like, I as you know, like, I'm not really a fan of trap music, but... Sure. I definitely will say, like, I will mm-hmm. give the Migos credit, because they mm-hmm. have improved since...
Definitely. I mean, I think they generally do keep, like, the same formula with, like, the chorus and stuff.
At least from what I heard on their Culture 2 album.
Sure,
I didn't
hear
that album, but
there's, like, 20 songs. It's
an hour 50.
Yeah, it's a bit much. But, in a way, I'd say they have sort of improved in a sense. But, like, in the past, though, they have had some songs where they actually do kind of rap with, like, multi-syllabic things like that, I thought this song was, like, all right, you know. I think it was just, like, the right amount of Migos that I could take. Number three was Bickenhead. This one was just sort of talking about how, I guess, like, using, like, the, like, I just, like, being in her position, just and she's sort of addressing other women and then talking about how she got to the place that she was, and how she sort of changed her not only her physical appearance, but sort of her, I guess, she gained more confidence in herself in a way.
Yeah, and it was kind of interesting to hear from the female point of perspective, mm-hmm. bragging, like, you know, the shape of her body,
right,
makeup, and then she has a whole part where she says something about, like, you know, make my pussy slide up
and down. This song where she just said, like, pussy, like, five times? Or, like, six,
seven? No, it was, like, a 30-second period.
it was just, like, pussy line after pussy line, which was, like,
Sounded like something Too Short would have said.
And chorus was, like, no, not that one. That was the wrong line.
What was the chorus for Baconhead?
I don't remember. That's the thing. I think it was, like, I thought, like, well, yeah, I don't remember the chorus. That's the thing. It was just kind of forgettable.
Yeah,
it was, like, it was all right. I thought, like, it didn't really do anything to stand out other than, like, the one pussy line. But, yeah, it was just sort of all right song. But like you mentioned, like, I think it was, like, interesting seeing it from, like, the female perspective as opposed to kind of seeing it from, like, the predominantly, like, male perspective. So that was kind of a nice little
change of pace.
Yeah, exactly. The fourth song was Bodak Yellow. And I know we've both already, like, listened to it, like, a lot, but I think, like, sort of re-listening to it after, like, sort of, like, a long period of time and just, like, not listening to it, like, you kind of listen to it. And the one thing that I feel like is, like, kind of holding this song back, which is weird because of how incredibly, like, successful it was, but, like, just the instrumental is just so weak. Like, it's just the same two. It's like, do, do, you know?
Yeah.
It's so, like,
it sounds just, like, the very beginning structure of Amigos.
Yes, beat. That's exactly. What it sounds it just like. Feels, it just feels so, like, deflated now that, like, you're kind of listening to, like, kind of fresh ears in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I feel it's in a way it gets kind of grating because, like, the song itself,
and even, like, I find it kind of annoying too how she kind of, like, elongates the words and then, like, you know, she kind of changes it up. But,
well,
I find it kind of annoying when people do it like that.
I don't mind the change up in, like, flow or voice.
I just, like, the way she did it, it didn't really work for me.
Like, don't get comfortable like that. Yeah, kind of thing. Like, I don't know, I think, like,
there's some people who can pull it off good, but I don't. Just for me, that didn't work.
I think she pulls it off fine. I mean, I like sort of, like, the very, like, the changing in flows, like I mentioned. So do I, man. Yeah. And the, I mean, I don't mind her elongating the words that much. I feel like it adds, like, a bit of character to the song.
I guess for me, it's, like, it's not really, like, her elongating and shortening, but it's more, like, with the instrumental behind it, just, for me, it sounds more annoying.
Okay, I understand.
So it's not really her, it's just...
Yeah, if they do, like, I don't know if they would do this, but...
If they change the instrumental, like, then I probably would, appreciate it more.
Just do, like, a bit more mastering, and I feel like it would be, like, a pretty good song. This is following Be Careful. This one's talking sort of... I initially thought it was talking, like, towards Offset, but I don't know if that really makes sense. Like, I don't know if they have had, like...
Because it
really...
seemed like she was also talking about things that weren't maybe directed to Offset or...
Yeah.
Or some
I
other
think
man.
This was more towards just, like, an ex in general. Just sort of talking about being in a position where there was sort of, like, a fragmented relationship. Things weren't going super well. And just sort of, like, the idea of commitment. Like, she even kind of, in a way, like, talks about her being vulnerable in a relationship, right? Like, she sort of mentions how despite sort of the aggressive appearance that she puts on, like, she still is kind of has, like, a, there's still, like, a sense of fragility when it comes to, like, a private relationship with someone else. So I thought that was, like, an interesting look into it. I think the singing was a bit much. Like, I didn't like her singing. Like, she didn't really do anything that bad. Like, it wasn't, like, egregious or anything. I just felt like there was, I don't know. I don't think she had to sing in this song. But I thought it was all right. I thought it was solid. She kind of discussed some interesting topics on here. Number six was Best Life with Chance. I think the song was a bit long. You mentioned it was like about 5 minutes or so.
Yeah, I kind of felt like, you know, Chance had a good verse, but I just felt like they could have cut Cardi's part a bit more.
Yeah, her second verse was a bit long. Like, I felt like she was just kind of repeating herself towards the end.
What would you think of Chance's verse?
Chance was just okay. Like, I don't...
It's not his best... It definitely wasn't his best sounding.
No, sure, it wasn't. Like, I don't know. Like, I like Chance, but, like, I feel like recently he's been kind of phoning it in a little bit. I felt like he was trying for sure in this, because, like, he did do a chorus, and then he also had a verse, too. But, I don't know, just, like, the way he's, like, I don't know if he, it really complimented the song super well. Like, his style of singing,
he sounded kind of tired, I don't know, like,
kind of.
Yeah, but it definitely sounded phoned in.
It did sound a little phoned in. Like, I also don't think, like, it was complimented super well with, like Cardi's aggressive, like, kind of, like, approach and to rapping.
He seemed too calm almost.
His style of music is not, like, aggressive. It's very, like, kind of chill. It's very, like,
spacey.
Yeah, like, not spacey.
I mean, I don't really listen to him.
I don't know how to describe it. It's like a unique style.
I've heard some people say it's kind of like Cudi's sort of.
No, it's not like Cudi's. Cudi's is much more like sing. Cudi's is sing songy, and Chance is also sing songy. I just don't know how to really define it. It's like happy music, basically. Chance makes like happy kind of music. Like, you would always, like, whenever you listen to Chance, you would expect there to be, like, a trumpet in the back. Like, that's how, as if it's, like especially his recent rap music, like, from, like, Coloring Book and shit. But his more, like, earlier stuff, I felt like he rapped more. Like, he's been more doing the singy kind of thing. But I wish he raps a little more. That's just my criticism of Chance. But, song was a bit long. She talks a little bit about sort of, the backlash and the criticism she's received, like, after Bodak Yellow kind of blew up. But she sort of maintains her sort of position by being, like, sort of the strong, independent person that she is, sort of maintaining her unique character and stuff like that. So I can kind of appreciate that. I just wish they kind of cut to sort of the length of the song, kept it to, like, a maybe 3.5 minimum, you know. Next song was I Like It with the two...
Bad Bunny and J Balvin.
Yeah. I don't know.
I like the sample of that one... I don't even know what that song's called, the I Like It Like That song.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
And, like, the only reggaeton this artist I listen to is Daddy Yankee.
Mm-hmm.
So, to me, J Balvin and Bad Bunny, they sounded the same to me.
Yeah, they sounded really similar to me. But, I mean, I don't really listen to reggaeton, so I don't know.
But I think the first verse was J Balvin, so he was just talking about the women from the various Latin American countries that she likes, and then, you know, you gaining weight, and then, you know, just talking shit, pretty much.
Okay.
Then Bad Bunny, I wasn't really paying attention.
Was it difficult to kind of decipher?
Well, I mean, they speak with, like, really, like, slang Puerto Rican accents, okay. So it's, like, you know, it can be kind of hard to...
Difficult to decipher.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got you.
Well, all I know is that Bad Bunny pretty much is just, like, bragging, so...
Okay.
But it was nowhere near as elaborate as J Balvin, so...
Okay. I don't know. For me, this song was kind of boring.
Yeah.
For me, I don't know.
I kind of like J Balvin's part, but then... Bad Bunny.
I thought that
was completely forgettable.
The J Balvin guy, like, I felt like he brought like a decent amount of energy to the song. The chorus of, like, the sort of the mixture of Cardi's
they didn't rapping. I feel like they didn't mix it well enough.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. You have a similar situation like that from Remind Me from Eminem's song. You know, mixing I Love Rock and Roll, where it sounds incomplete.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It doesn't
too.
Really work either.
Yeah, it was just kind of like a weird mix. Toward the end of the song, I was just kind of bored. I know it was like a shorter song too, but like I just felt like it wasn't really doing anything for me. Yeah, I think this is like the one song that felt kind of different from the rest.
Yeah, this is definitely the change up right here.
Yeah, this is sort of the change up. Sort of, I feel like this is the song where she was trying to get sort of like. More like the international audience
because she is. I think is she Dominican, right?
I think she's Dominican.
Yeah, so obviously she's trying to go back to like her Dominican roots.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that, but I felt like the effort trying to put it back in was not good enough.
It was a little subpar.
She definitely could have done better with that
because
I know she's fluent in Spanish. So.
Right. Do you think she could have like rapped in Spanish too?
Yeah, I think I've heard her rap in Spanish before. Mm-hmm. So and she's good at it too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, if she got better production and maybe possibly get better features that weren't so generic, you know,
right.
It could definitely help. She could even make a whole album in Spanish if she wanted to as well.
Oh, yeah, you think so?
I think she could.
Yeah, that'd be interesting.
Get the right people behind it, too.
That'd be interesting.
Daddy Yankee and them, yeah.
The next song was Ring featuring Kehlani. I kind of mentioned this, and you kind of sort of mentioned that, like, it felt kind of dated.
Felt like a song from 10 years ago.
Yeah, it felt like it was from, like, 2011. It was weird. Like, I don't... It was just, like... I felt like I've heard this song in, like, middle school before. And it was just kind of, like, a weird throwback. Like,
and Kehlani's verse was just so boring.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I felt like just skipping the song.
Yeah, this song was pretty boring. Like, I don't know. I haven't really listened to a whole lot of Kehlani, but whatever song she gets featured on... like, I don't know, like, she never really brings anything interesting.
She's not really, like, a bad singer, but...
No, she's not.
But the way she delivers it, though, just comes off as just tired and...
It's just very generic and, yeah, tired, because, like, we've heard this before. Like, this doesn't, like... She doesn't really do anything that different in comparison to, like, pop singers from, like, 2011. Like, I remember that period of time sort of being, like, this weird kind of, like...
There's a lot of electronic sounds in it.
Yes, and every song sounded like this. Every song sounded like pop rap, you know? Nowadays, like we mentioned, is like more mumble rap kind of stuff. But now, like back then, it was like pop rap, where it was verse, song, or like verse, like the chorus, and then verse, and then chorus, and then sing. And then the singer kind of finishes off. And that was kind of, this was exactly that. So it was just like a weird kind of throwback to that.
And what was she even talking about in this song?
This song was just sort of talking about, like, from what I gathered, it was basically trying to, like, I guess rekindle some kind of relationship. Once again, sort of talking through the phone in a way. Just kind of, difficulty of communicating, things like that. Nothing really that interesting. It's sort of a reiteration of what she already talked about and what she will talk about again in another song. So yeah, that was that song. Nothing really that interesting. Next song was Moneybag. This is
the YG song.
No, this is the next song. Is the YG. Oh, okay. No, it's two songs for now. This one, yeah, this felt like
the word Moneybag being said over and over was a bad choice for a
chorus. It was just kind of
annoying.
It was gonna happen. It was gonna happen on this album, like, regardless. True. I'm surprised, like, there wasn't, like, the repetitive chorus. Like, I'm surprised, like, it didn't happen that much. Like, the only ones that I can, like, think of are the song with YG, the Migos song, and then this song. So, like, I can say, like, I felt like they actually put in some work on the choruses, for the most part. But yeah, this one was just kind of, it was all right. It felt like Bodak Yellow 2.0, basically.
Yeah.
Except with, like, a different instrumental. Nothing really that interesting. Sort of addresses the haters and the critics and stuff like that. Sort of a typical kind of brag rap song. Nothing really that different than anything else that she's already talked about.
Yeah.
Next song was Bardier Cardi with 21 Savage. I already heard this song previously. I know this was your first time. Yeah. What did you think about it?
Cardi's part was good, but I mean, like, how it is with a lot of, I really despise mumble rappers, and and 21 Savage's part just kind of, what's the word? It just left me, like, because I actually kind of enjoyed Cardi's part.
Yeah.
And then I just felt like 21 Savage just shat on it.
It was like, it would kind of, from the beginning, like, she kind of brought this energy to it, like she generally does throughout the album.
Yeah.
And then, in a way, I felt like 21 sort of diffused that.
Yeah, and I was just kind of sitting there like, why the fuck did they let him on the song,
you know? Yeah, it was just, and his verse was kind of silly, too, it was just kind of dumb.
Putting hot sauce on her titties,
yeah, it was just kind of, whatever, it didn't really do anything
for me. I just don't like the lazy, boring flow.
I understand that.
One thing I noticed that with a lot of mumble rappers is that they come off as just so lazy, and they rely heavily on their instrumentals.
Yeah, no, definitely,
so
for sure.
So that's one reason why I can't get into
that
rap.
Yeah, I mean, I do, like,
and I probably would say that 21 Savage is probably the worst mumble rapper.
Oh, okay, I don't know about that, man. I don't think you've listened to enough mumble rappers to say that. I feel
it?
Like
Yachty, then.
I mean, there's a lot of mumble rappers, dude, out there. There's some that, like,
he's definitely one of the bigger name ones.
He's definitely one of the bigger name
that
ones
is
for sure
that I do not like.
Yeah, so. I mean, he is, like, he does, like, he is kind of mumble rap, but he also does sort of more of the trappy kind of rap as well. I don't know. I think he's sort of a
but regardless of whether he does mumble rap or trap rap, he sounds the same no matter what.
I guess in a way.
Yeah.
I suppose.
So that's this just kind this of his contra- style. So his verse completely contradicted any enjoyment I could have had out of this song. So
I think that's like, and I was gonna mention this too, but I think, I feel like a lot of these songs, like, not a lot, but, like, a good portion of the songs, like, they're better, like, without features, which is, like, kind of, like, surprising for me, because I...
Yeah, cause I felt that way, too.
Because, like, I was kind of going into it, like, I didn't really know if, like, she was going to be able to, like, carry an album, like, by herself, but she, I think she could, you know, like, obviously there's going to be features, because she's, like, a big artist now, so she's got to get some big names on here. Alongside her, but I mean, for the most part, like, I felt like she could kind of do it on her own without any, like, other featuring rappers
that,
or
that
singers.
That definitely could have helped. If she had less features on here, this album would
be
a lot
better. Yeah, I think it would have been better, for sure, which is, like, which was kind of surprising for me. I did like the, like, sort of the ominous, like, beat for Buddy Icardi, but...
Mm-hmm. I did, too.
Yeah, so it's, like, I thought it was, like, kind of a nice mix, but... I guess, like, the 21 part was just kind of weak for both of us. Next part, next song was She Bad with YG. YG's chorus was pretty bad.
I mean, I like YG, but this was probably, like, one of the worst, like, feature verses I've heard
of him. It was, like, it was one sleepy chorus followed after another sleepy chorus. Like, I don't know why.
He's not known for doing
No, he's not. Kind of he's not that. Voice, so. I mean, he did do, like, Tooted and Booted. Which was
but he kept like he had an energy in that song, like, as annoying as that song was,
yeah,
he at least had an energy to it. This song, he just sounded like he was just asleep,
phoning
and
it
he just kind of just yeah he just showed up. He's like, now give me my check after he was done.
That's true.
You know,
yeah. What was this? It was just sort of like this was like a stripper song.
the beginning of it sounded like it was like a generic like strip club song you'd hear.
I felt like a generic stripper song, like, kind of throughout. I felt like
the beginning part, especially, in like the choruses, especially.
Okay. Yeah.
That, but obviously throughout the whole song, it does. But
there was
that's where it shows up, though.
There was one like sort of like verse that she had, or just like one part of the verse she had that I thought was kind of funny, where she was like using like Christian imagery. I don't know if you picked up on that, but like
which one?
She Bad, where she was like she was talking about like something about making like the priest sweat, something like that. I don't know if you picked up on that. I thought that was like funny. I was like, that was like a weird like thing to add, and it was kind of interesting.
We forgot to
mention. Oh, right, that's right.
Yeah,
forgot
the part
to mention.
Backtrack to Moneybag.
Yeah.
Now, so.
Yeah, there was like, yeah, she was sort of talking about the. I guess she was
talking shit about other women, and then she brings up this line saying trans. Are jumping on my dick, so...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, like, I don't know the history of that. Like, I guess we'll do some research after this, but... I don't know if that's, like, is that a criticism, or do you think that's, like...
Well, because the whole part leading up to it was, like, was talking shit, and then, I don't know what...
Trans be jumping on my dick.
Yeah, but it doesn't sound... It's not an insult. She's not saying, like,
no,
suck
I don't
my dick.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
It sounds like she wants it to happen, and then...
Maybe she's, like, saying that, like... Maybe trans people are supportive of her for some reason.
I guess she's the biggest trans
activist
rapper.
I don't know about that.
Or could she possibly be transgender herself?
I have no idea. I don't know what that line really means. But going back to the She Bad song, like, yeah, it was just like going back, it's just like it was such a weird thing, like just sort of throwing in like the Christian imagery. I kind of like that, though, because it was just
so,
DJ
Mustard made the beat. Like, what did you think of his production on that song?
I think, like, I mean, it was kind of, it was all right. Like, it was just...
It's definitely better than a lot of other songs that he's made,
yeah,
for sure.
I don't know. He's been doing it for a while, so I don't know. Like, I think...
He said, like, a stretch of songs that would all sound the same, and then,
oh,
like, he
yeah,
just,
yeah.
And then he would just switch up slightly with, like, a piano or, like, a xylophone
yes,
or whatever.
Yes,
so.
Every beat
and
had sort of,
a,
like...
A in the background,
yes,
too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Every beat was sort of, like, the same, like tempo and the A in the background.
Yeah.
So I think, I mean, I haven't heard a DJ Mustard produced beat in a while. So
same.
It was kind of like, I guess it was like a sort of a different take from him. Number 12 was Through Your Phone, sort of another phone-related song.
One of the more interesting songs,
I'd say. Yeah, I thought it was, like, an interesting song for sure, where she, like, sort of talking about how, the whole idea of, like, invasion of privacy, essentially. Sending pictures through the phone.
And then she screenshots them to, like, have proof of people doing this kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
But she also mentions Offset, too, getting pictures from chicks as well.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. And
she's also screenshotting those pictures as well.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting. So it's like, there's, yeah, like, the invasion of privacy, sort of the, kind of the relationships that she and, I guess, Offset both have with other people, like, through their phone, you know, how they communicate, how other people communicate with them. Just that's kind of some of the things that she sort of, I guess, like, explores in this song. There was, like, the uncredited singer that really didn't add much to the song. I felt like it kind of took away from the song.
Yeah, this was another example
of that happening. Yeah, because, like, I just, because the song itself was, like, a pretty aggressive, like, I really liked it when the bass kicked in, like, there's sort of, like, the build-up, and then, like, the bass kicked in, and then she kind of started going into it. I like that.
And then the singer kind of took away from
it. This singer took away from it again. Like, I feel like the
third time.
Yeah, I feel like the features are, like, make the album weaker.
Or at least she's got to make better choices on who to have on her songs, too.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, I feel like,
I understand, like, she's going to have Offset and the Migos.
Right, right.
Of course she's going to get married and have a kid with one of them.
Yeah.
She can at least find other people besides everyone else.
Yeah, I think some better decisions could have been made. Like, I think the weakest part for sure were, like, the singer, like, features. Because, like, they just added nothing to the album, you know? Like, yeah. Just get, like, I don't know. I know that you gotta have sort of that pop, like, you know, pop identity to it. But you just gotta make, I guess, like, a better choice and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, interesting song. I just felt like, once again, she could have just done that on her own. Last track was I Do featuring SZA. I don't know why they did this, but they auto-tuned SZA for some reason.
And they didn't they auto-tune Cardi as
no,
well?
No, that was the chorus was SZA, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
I don't know why they auto-tuned her. She has a good voice. Like, I
don't understand. It sounded horrible.
No, it sounded terrible. Like, I don't know why they did that. And that just threw me out of, like, the loop. Like, it was just threw me off, like, already. I was like, what the fuck was that?
Actually, now that you mentioned the auto-tune part, it kind of goes back to the second song, Drip, where Quavo actually slathered his voice in auto-tune.
Yeah.
You know, but it was kind of a similar thing where, except, you know, Quavo can't sing, obviously.
Yeah.
So, but, you know, what was I trying to say? So, Quavo is trying to use the auto-tune to make up for his, like, weak verse on that song.
Yeah.
And then this is the opposite.
Yeah, and I know, it's just so weird. Like, I don't understand that. Like, you're bringing in, like, a singer who can actually sing. I don't know, it was just such a weird decision.
I wonder if this was her decision or
I don't, someone else's. I feel like, yeah, I don't know whose decision this was. I don't know if it was, like, the producer or SZA's decision to auto-tune. I don't know. It was just kind of weird. Threw me off a bit. I guess it's like, it's just kind of like a typical sort of brag rap to sort of end it off.
Yeah.
But I did she sort of maintained that aggression, within the song, like, as she had throughout the album. Sort of like a final reference to, like, invasion of privacy, just sort of the communication with phones and stuff like that.
Sort of loosely tied all
loosely tied, you know, which is fine by me. Like, I don't really think this type of album has to have, like, complete, like, everything has to come together at the end sort of thing.
Right, because, like, as I've noticed, like, you know, trap, it's like, you don't really expect it to be reaching that far.
No, so it doesn't have to be, like, heavily conceptual or anything like that, you know? It's just gotta be, like, you know, if you have, like, an idea, just sort of toss it around throughout the album. Alright, final thoughts and grade?
I'd say, you know, like, for a debut album, I thought it was slightly above average, but, you know, there's just, like, moments in it that, like, within all these songs that ruin any potential there could have been.
Yeah, I agree.
So, you know, I think next time she just got to make, like, better choices on who to have on her songs, and just some of the beats didn't sound all that good.
Yeah.
Only a few of them.
Yeah.
But, I mean, other than that, I thought it was solid. So yeah. What about you?
I'd say it was a solid debut album. I didn't think like I said, like, I didn't think it was, like, I didn't have really that much issue with the length of the album.
I thought it was fine. Like, some of the songs were a bit lengthy,
though. A bit lengthy, but, like, I felt like it kind of went by fast. Like, every song sort of just, like, got it done. It came in and it was done. And, like, I think she has, like, a genuinely interesting, like style and, like, persona. And, like, I don't think she's gonna be, like, going away anytime soon. Like, as long as she sort of maintains her position, as long as she kind of continues to do what she does and improve on her, I guess her shortcomings. But, like, I don't think she has that many shortcomings. Like,
no, because she's a good rapper.
Yeah, like, I feel like I feel like she's, like a pretty solid, like, rapper, entertainer, you know? She doesn't have, obviously, like, not, like, obviously not the most lyrical or anything like that, but for a trap artist, like, I feel like she does pretty well for the most part.
I'd say she definitely stands out amongst a lot of trap
rappers today. Yeah, exactly. Like, I think, like, she does make herself known. Like, she definitely, like, stands out, and I think she could be considered up there as along with other trap artists. So, what score would you give?
I think I'd probably go with, maybe a 7 out of 10.
A 7? All right. Yeah. I'm actually going to go with, like a 6.5.
Yeah. I was thinking around 6.5, 7. Like, I was kind of bouncing
around. Yeah, yeah. Like, I think, yeah, I'd say it's, like, within that range, sort of. Like, there's nothing, like, extraordinary about this album, but, I mean, I was entertained at moments, so... Mm-hmm.
But then there was moments that threw me off.
Yeah, so. Yeah. But there weren't any, like, really glaring issues that I have to say. Obviously, like, we mentioned some of them.
21.
Yeah, I don't even think, like, it was that, like, huge of an issue. I just think it was just...
I understand it was one song, but I just really, really can't stand
21. I think it was, like, just kind of, like, a blemish on that song. Like, it was just sort of unneeded. Yeah, like we mentioned, like, the features didn't really add a whole lot. But, yeah, 6.5, 7 kind of range.
7 for me. Yeah. 6.5 to 7 for me.
Yeah, so. Sort of that kind of range. I'm sure people already enjoyed this. So, I mean, if you're like, kind of trap music, yeah, I'd recommend it for sure. Mm-hmm. If you weren't, like, a fan of Cardi B, then I don't know. I don't think this would really change your mind.
Yeah. This was, like, my first major showing.
Yeah.
Or listening of her.
Yeah, so I'd say, like, I'd probably be I'll probably be on the lookout. Like, she's a pretty big artist and stuff. And, yeah, we'll see if she makes any improvements in...
Yeah, I can't wait to see, like, what she'll come out with next.
Few years. Yeah, so. Yeah. We'll see about that. Anyways, it's been Say the Semantics, Hip Hop Discovery. See ya.
Bye.